Welcome to the new episode of the Zoo Podcast, the rest and digest episode where Toddy and I will sit back, take you through the key points that we found in Alana Church's episode, and just talk about them.
Plenty to take away, and I'm glad we're finally putting this chat out because it seemed like such a shame to leave that conversation in the archives because it was a ripper.
Well, we were buzzing after we kind of spoke to Alana and we went through it all, and then we kind of went through our own stress and burnout. Quite literally a week later.
Clearly and took everything on board.
Yeah, we obviously didn't listen to her incredible insight. But yeah, felt it, really, really felt that stress over the probably next 3-4 months after we'd kind of put everything we had into the 9 for 9.
Yeah, you know, there's the irony of like looking into stress and burnout and then burning out ourselves. But I think that's also a big reason behind trying to bring this season back and talk about it, because we never really had a chance to like talk to each other about it afterwards.
No, we kept saying like, geez, that was a good podcast. We need to put that out. And we just never got a chance to reflect on the conversation that we did have with Alana. And she's got such a beautiful way of talking about it and just a beautiful manner in how she explains those things that I hope everyone listening has really enjoyed too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad it made us have to re-listen to the pod as well, because it's one of those ones that I think I would go back to multiple times. To keep it really simple, what was a big takeaway you had from re-listening to Alana's pod?
I think a big takeaway for me was obviously stress is something that humans have felt for millennia. It's a natural instinct. It's our brain's way of keeping us safe. But what was interesting about what Alana said was how the stressor has changed over time and how that has become a little bit different. I think we spoke about it in the podcast about we're not running away from lions anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So why do we still have the same stress response to different areas of modern life?
Yeah, there was a couple of things she said that really stuck out for me. When she said that a threat to social capital now is almost more important than physical shelter for our survival. That just made me go, what? Because, and then she listed all these kind of invisible stresses that you don't really think about, but makes so much more sense in the context of social capital being something that we're trying to protect so much.
But also that's so accessible. Like the judgment on your own social capital is everywhere for everyone to see. And depending on how you process that can make a really big makes a really big difference to your own stress.
Yeah, and it makes sense, right? Like putting anything out on social media, it's going out to your community, like it's going out to your in-group or it's going out to such a wide variety of people that depending on how they like the potential for how they perceive that could really affect, in theory, like where you sit in the social chain or, you know, what your social capital really. So it's kind of scary. It makes a little bit more sense why there's that angst behind putting a post up, even the simple stuff, right? I mean, I don't know if you felt this, but I don't post much on Instagram anymore, but I distinctly remember every time I've made a post, it's like you're ready for war a little bit. You're like, you're amped up, you're considering so much, and then you keep writing that once the post is out. Even the smallest, most insignificant stuff, you're so engaged and amped up from it.
Well, and then you become addicted to the gratification because you've either put something up that people like or don't like. And the amount of those likes, I think, can determine your self-perception of your social capital. So if you got 4 likes versus 400 likes, the way you picture yourself on that chain is so different. And you're on, like refreshing, you're checking your phone more than you would. Like whether you've got notifications or not, you're on it, checking. You're amped up. You've got, you know, adrenaline is swimming through your system at that point.
Yeah. And it's nothing I would have ever thought about de-stressing from or going through a stress cycle. But again, it makes so much sense. And then sometimes there's even just, sometimes you're just thinking about one person seeing a certain post, right? And that's enough for you to go, what could this possibly mean? Is this a threat? Like the way they perceive this, or if they even see this matters to me. And that's stressful, right? Like we talked about just the minute, like the not so significant posts, but then God, what about when it comes to launching a relationship or
the soft launch?
Oh my God, that's a whole.
This is a whole process.
Absolutely, and it makes sense.
The soft launch into the, you know, medium launch into the hard launch. There's so much to think about now.
Yeah, I remember writing the soft to hard launch of Jerome when he when he started dating Rachel.
He didn't get away with it though, because our group chat was going off with. Is that a soft launch? Is that a hand in that photo? Or medium launch? He's gone hard. It's a hard launch.
Yeah, it was a complete play for play. It had me thinking about the soft launches I've gone through in the past as well. It's one thing introducing someone to your friends, but introducing them to your Instagram or your Facebook is, it's a beast in itself.
There's something that's kind of official now about, it's like what used to be Facebook official is now if you've posted them. Like there's something different about posting them on your story versus posting them on the grid. Like there's so many facets, and I think I soft launched Maddie via a post with her dog, and I think it had a stupid caption that was like the only girl I've kissed all ISO with Maddie's dog as Maddie's taking the photo. Like it's and then it's kind of for your sub. Group of friends who, like, you know, you and her friends that know, but everyone else going, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah,
like this is different.
Yeah, but it's scary at the same time, because you can't really control who sees that, right? So you've almost got a limitless amount of people that could respond to what's essentially like pretty vulnerable, like bringing someone else into your life. It's hard to shut out the fear of judgment that could come back onto you, you know, as silly as that sounds. Like who you're dating or who you're seeing, that reflects something about you as well, right? Or at least that's how, I mean, I perceive it.
Well, that's, yeah, I think that's an interesting point. It's how we perceive how other people view us. At the end of the day though, unless it's your mate, have you ever given a shit?
Yeah, this is the thing. It's irrational.
It's so irrational.
But it's so real.
But the feelings are like absolutely there. Yeah. And you're going through every scenario in your head going, if this person sees it, if I wonder what this person's going to think, I wonder how people will view this, when no one cares, but your brain doesn't know that. Yes. Your brain's going through this cycle of survival going, you know, protect, protect, protect. You're going to run from this? You're going to fight this?
Could this be a problem here, there? Like, analyze everything. Like, I think back to, take this for an example. I remember when Rachel and I had been dating for some time. Like, I was in America. I think we were in Costa Rica at the time, well into a relationship. And everyone important in my life that should know about it knew about it. But then one morning I saw, like, a Facebook request for, like, Tom is now in a relationship with Rachel. And this is a prime example of all those alarm bells just going off, you know, when rationally, not a problem. Yes, I'm in a relationship.
Like it actually is true.
It's 100% true. I wouldn't dispute it. But at the same time, I'm freaking out. And thinking back to it now, it makes sense. Like I'm thinking, God, there's what, 800 to 900 people on Facebook that are on my Facebook friends for whatever reason.
Someone that you haven't seen for 8 years.
Every single person can have a judgment of this. I don't know if it's just the sheer mass of people that it's being broadcasted to, or all the potential people that could react to this. But I remember that like freaking me out. And it resulted in, let's say, a limbic system response. That did not go down well at all, because all like emotional regulation and, you know, rational thinking went out the window. And here I am having like a little bit of a freak out, and she's going, what's going on?
We've been dating for 6 months.
Yeah. And I couldn't explain it either. I couldn't explain it to her, which didn't help.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, I think that absolutely explains and goes across so many facets of the irrational but very real process of stress. Like that fight or flight response that happens with the invisible things that people aren't seeing but that are going on in your mind. And that could be caught in traffic or, you know, an Instagram post, anything that you kind of feel like is irrational, but within you it's not. And when you can't explain it, it's hard.
Things that I wouldn't have thought about back then were that I actually need to do something with that stress, that the emotion of stress is not something that just goes away. Your body needs to do something with that adrenaline to avoid that stage two stress response that she went into so much detail about, right?
I think that's the biggest takeaway, that the absence of the stressor doesn't mean that's the absence of the stress, and that I need to actually get rid of that stress and utilize that adrenaline and the cortisol that's in my system and do something with it. Otherwise, I think, as Alana explained, you're kind of stopping halfway through a tunnel. You're not kind of getting through all the way. And I think I still suck at this as much as I'm trying to do it. Because I think in my mind, something I say to myself is, well, firstly, when someone says to me, why are you so stressed about it? That seems to just set the alarm off even more. Because internally, I think I'm asking myself, why am I so stressed about this? And like I'm on this vicious cycle. So that's one of the things that's really difficult. But then once I can kind of bypass that, I just need to exercise. Like that's my biggest one. Like whether it's gym or running, and the different types of stress, that's how I get rid of it. If I'm kind of like an anxious stress, I think I need to lift something. Like I just need to go and lift something heavy and I feel better. Whereas if I've got like a stress that's been on my mind for a while, running seems to be more helpful. Because I think when I can run, think, and come to my own conclusions and kind of do all that reframing and talking to myself, and by the time I've run 10K, I've kind of figured it out in my mind that I'm being irrational. But yeah, that's kind of my way of tolerating that. What about you?
Yeah, it's interesting that Ilana's example of going through the tunnel I found really helpful, because my personally, when I look at like uncomfortable emotions, I don't look at them as like tunnels. It's more like a scary cave you don't want to go into. And if you go into them, like you're going to be stuck there for a while. Maybe there's a few bats and all that. But like looking at it from a tunnel and knowing that you will come through it if you complete the cycle or you do something that involves leaning into or responding to the stress rather than just like pushing it away. I think is a really helpful takeaway. But on that point of the unhelpful advice that you sometimes get from people about like why are you stressed about this and how that can be a little harmful, that was one of my biggest takeaways. And Alana went into some of the stigma around how we do respond to people who are in stress. And again, if we're looking at people as having gone through a stressful event or had a stressor that is now past, that is a really unhelpful way to view dealing with the emotion of stress. And rather than going, why are you stressed? Maybe a better question is like, have you had the time to de-stress or have you de-stressed from this? That's the lens that I think Alana brings to this whole battle with stress that we're all undergoing.
Well, I think it's a nice way of reframing stress, but it's also a nice way of validating the stress that's happening, because it's definitely existing and it's there even if we can't see it, and it gives people permission to do something for themselves that they know may make them feel better. So I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, I hope many others have got something out of Alana's pod. I mean, I think this kind of only scrapes the surface, and I know I'll definitely be re-listening to that pod maybe in a month or so. But It was great to chat again, Colin. And I hope we keep doing this.
Yeah, this will be nice. I've enjoyed it.
Rested and digested.
Rested, digested, relaxed. We're on.
Looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah, sounds good, mate.
Tune in next time.
Bye.
Bye.